Hey, and thank you for tuning in to the Learn to Code with Me podcast. In this episode, you'll find out how a former airport security officer transitioned into tech despite being dyslexic and having left high school at the age of 16. That's all coming up after a quick word from our sponsors. MongoDB is a free open source document database. It has all the querying and indexing tools you need and the scalability and flexibility to get work done faster. They offer a collection of free online courses that will teach you how to deploy and develop with the MongoDB software. Head to university.mongodb.com to get started today. Ready to accelerate your coding journey and break into software engineering? Flatiron School's comprehensive online software engineering immersive will give you the skills and support you need to launch your career. Start learning for free today with their coding bootcamp prep course at flatironschool.com/learn-to-code-with-me. In today's episode, I talk with Samit Saini. Samit was a security guard at London Heathrow Airport. When he got access to Microsoft Power Apps, he used it to digitize some of the paper-based processes at Heathrow, and now he works as the airport's IT solution specialist. The reason why I reached out to Samit is because I loved his story about how he made the transition into tech from an unrelated field. I thought it would be super interesting to find out what he did and what he can share for others who want to do the same. And that's what we're talking about in this episode, how Samit's career at Heathrow evolved and how he taught himself the technologies that helped him to transition into the job that he currently has. If you need some inspiration to learn something new or you're considering changing careers, this episode is for you. Hey, Samit, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk with you today about your journey into tech, Microsoft technologies, and your career evolution at Heathrow Airport. But to get things started, I want to talk about the last thing, Heathrow Airport. You began working there, as I see on your LinkedIn, about 14 years ago, and you still work there today. Can you tell us about how you ended up working there in the first place?
Absolutely. I mean, I live literally 10 minutes away from Heathrow Airport. And my dad used to work at Heathrow Airport as well. And I did my work experience at Heathrow Airport. And it's actually where I met my wife as well, at London Heathrow Airport. But I knew as soon as my dad took me to the airport to show me the planes, I knew I was hooked that no matter what I was going to do, I wanted to work at London Heathrow Airport. And when I left school, age of 16, that's where I wanted to do. And as soon as the job came out as a security guard, I said, sign me up. I'm ready to go. And that's how I started my journey at working at Heathrow.
Wow. So when you left school when you were 16, I know the school system is a bit different in England, but was that kind of like the equivalent of high school?
It was. I didn't do too well at high school, and so I didn't fit in. And I didn't, when I left high school, I didn't do too well with my scores. So I couldn't, I didn't want to carry on with my education. And so I felt that work would be the best thing for me.
And you mentioned, I think, before I hit the record button, that one of the reasons you didn't finish high school at the time was because you're dyslexic and it was really challenging. So how has being dyslexic affected or impacted in any way learning these Microsoft technologies, if it has at all?
Honestly, so when you're at school, I didn't pick up that I was dyslexic at the time. So you'll be put in a certain class or they call you slow and so on. So it kind of affects your self-esteem and it affects your confidence as well. And, but, you know, like I said, I wanted to work at Heathrow. It gave me, I felt like I was in a community. Everyone's, whoever I was surrounded with was great. But when I started learning the Microsoft applications, they catered for every type of learning. So if I used, when I was reading the blog, the blog was simple. It was not too many wording, but it was just pictures and words, which is great. Not too many words. Then, but there's also YouTube videos, and when I asked for help on certain things that I wasn't sure about, I would have Skype meetings with people who would show me how to do certain things. So learning the Microsoft applications, it catered for every learning style. Some people are visual, some people are like to read, but for me, I'm more of a visual person. So for me, it was easier to learn, which was great. And that's why I use YouTube a lot. Or I do Skype meeting with someone, and they always give me the time to learn certain things. It doesn't take that long. Most YouTube videos are like 5 to 10 minutes long.
Yeah, awesome. Gotcha. So what were you initially doing at Heathrow?
I was doing it as a security officer. So this time last year, I was asking passengers, could you please remove your liquids, laptops and iPads? And that was my job. That was my duty, to make sure that our passengers, when they are going through, they're traveling and they're going to their flight, that we're making sure that they're safe and that we're giving them the best service that we can. And so when, you know, if a passenger is lost or stressed, we are there to support them as well at the same time. And it was great because we connect with so many people every single day. And no 2 days is the same. And so that was my job for the last 13 years.
Gotcha. Wow, 13 years. And when you first started working at Heathrow as a security officer, what were your greater career plans at that time, if you really had any?
I'll be honest with you, I didn't have a career plan. I didn't have much confidence in my skills. I didn't think I would be a manager or a leader. The skills that I had, I felt like I was best suited at what I was doing as a security officer, and I was happy with that. I knew I was a hard worker, so I kept doing that. But for my career progression, I didn't have a plan. But I kept going. I kept working hard, and in that aspect, I got to meet my wife, who is also a security officer. So it worked out well.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You mentioned that, how you met your wife there, how your dad also worked there. So it feels like it's really a big part of all of your lives, right?
It is. To me, Heathrow is like a second home. It is a community as well. And to be honest, when we talk about career plan, I was so comfortable what I was doing. The people I was around, the team that I had, it felt like a family. And that's why when it comes to career plan, I didn't have any. And being with my wife, I didn't work with my wife because I couldn't imagine just working with my wife and then being at home at the same time. So it was great to have people around me, and it's great to get to see my dad as well every day working there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I actually want to make a quick side note because I just connected these dots, but are you familiar with the TV show Animal Airport?
No.
So it's a TV show that takes place at Heathrow Airport. That is a British show that is all about the animal. I don't even know what to call it, but like the security that animals go through when they're traveling internationally.
Okay.
Anyway, it used to be on Netflix, but they took it off, unfortunately, but I'm sure it's available somewhere. But for anyone listening, check out Animal Airport if you like animals, because I seriously watched like 3 seasons in, I don't know, like a few weeks. It's such a good show. And it all takes place at Heathrow Airport. Anyhow, but I know it's a massive airport, and is it the biggest or one of the biggest in the world?
It's one of the biggest airports in the world, and it's one of the busiest airports in the world as well. We're operating at 98% of capacity as well. And we have around 76,000 people working there with 400 companies working at Heathrow Airport. So,
wow. Yeah, yeah. That's a lot of people.
And,
wow.
And imagine as a security officer processing so many people going through their journey as well. It's amazing. You know, you get to meet, and it's so good. When I say it's so good working there, you don't know who you're going to meet. It's like, it's a small, it's not so small, it's a huge community, and it's great because we get to see different kinds of people, different nationalities. We even get to see celebrities as well, which is awesome sometimes.
Yeah. So I want to switch gears a little, because nowadays you are working a lot with different technologies and you're working in IT. How did you first become interested in technology?
What happened was, while we was working, we had a business change manager. Her name is Komal, and she showed us to the frontline colleagues that we have Microsoft Office 365 available to not just in IT or other departments, but also for frontline colleagues, which was great. And they said, we have all these applications available, things like OneNote, we have Forms, we have things called Sway, and so on. And they said, just go and check it out and tell us what you think. So that got me interested a little bit. So as soon as I got home and I put the kids to bed and my wife was sleeping, then I started looking at these applications. And what caught my eye was a thing called Power Apps. And I was like, okay, this sounds interesting. And I clicked on the Power Apps button, and the page opened, and it said, learn how to create an app in 5 minutes. I thought, okay, this sounds interesting. Create an app in 5 minutes, okay. So I clicked on that blog, and it gave me a step-by-step guide how to create it. And I was like, okay. It asked me to open up an Excel spreadsheet, which I did. It asked me to create the columns, name the columns, save it onto a OneDrive cloud, OneDrive. And so I did that. And then go back to Power Apps and find OneDrive, find the Excel spreadsheet, and click Generate. I said, okay. So I clicked the Generate button, and within less than a minute, the columns that I created in an Excel spreadsheet became an app format. So you have a layout of a phone or a tablet, and it has the columns that you created. I said, that looks pretty damn simple. And so what I did was, it asked me to go to the App Store now or the Google Play Store, download Power Apps on your phone. And I did that. And once I opened it, it had the app that I made on my laptop onto my phone, and it asked me to type in the columns that you created and press submit. It had a tick button, and that tick button already had a decoding in it built. So I clicked on it, I submit the items that I put in the columns, and within seconds I see it on an Excel spreadsheet, and I was hooked. I was like, wow, this is amazing. Why doesn't no one know about this? And I had so many ideas about this. I thought, we have so many paper processes at HeFo. This would be amazing. And that's when this is when I got started learning about this technology. And that's what got me hooked.
Wow. So could you tell us, like, what is Power Apps exactly? Because to be honest, this is something I wasn't familiar with before chatting with you and doing research before our interview. And I know there's listeners who aren't familiar with what it is either.
So Power Apps is a low code, no code kind of application, where to best describe it, it's like having PowerPoint and Excel put together, because it's not asking you too much coding. It's asking, and you know how you design a PowerPoint. This is how you're designing your app, basically. And then sometimes you don't even need any coding at all. And that's what Power Apps is. It's a low code, no code application.
Gotcha. Thanks for explaining that. So you discovered Power Apps and you realized how simple it was, and you saw all these ways that you could replace paper processes with this new technology. What did you do next? Like, what were your next moves after that?
So my next move was to keep going, keep learning. And when I found out it was so simple, one of the ideas that I've had was, we've got a language book that is placed on every machine, and we're in an international airport, and sometimes our passengers don't speak English, so we normally use this book that helps us translate things like, do you know your liquids or your laptops or your iPad need to be removed. And sometimes they understand it that way. So I said, why don't we convert that book into a app? And it doesn't take any coding, because all I'm doing is adding images onto this app, adding buttons to navigate the pages, and that's it. And that's what I did for a week. I got the images and started creating this app. And that took me a week. And what happened was I was so excited that I created this app. It works on my phone. It's got the Hifo logo. It's got the Hifo branding. And so the first thing I did, I showed it to my manager. And my manager goes, wow, this is amazing. How much does it cost us? I said, it doesn't cost us anything because we got the license for this Office 365. And then he goes, how much coding is involved? I said, there's no coding involved. So I showed him how I created this. And he goes, well, okay, let's show this to the IT department. Let's show this to the business change manager. And that's what exactly happened. And the reason I chose that scenario, because we're not able to carry books around with us, the language book. So I thought, why not have something that is Hifo branded and something so simple to use, and something that I've created that's so simple to have it on our phones. And that was how I got more involved with PowerApps.
Wow, that's awesome. So has that app replaced the language book now?
No, it hasn't replaced it, but it gives us more, we can use it anywhere now. So we're not bound to carry a book or anything onto the machines, that we have it on our phones. So we could be any area of the airport now. And if a passenger doesn't know anything about our rules, we can bring the phone up and show them that this is what's allowed at Hifo or what's not allowed.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. So you're basically making a bunch of people's lives easier with this. So after you made this app, you showed it to your manager, et cetera, how did your role evolve at Heathrow after that?
So the business change manager, her name is Komal. She said, would you like to be a digital champion? I said, absolutely. I said, could you tell me? I was so excited to even ask what I was meant to be doing. But she said, what I need to be doing is showing everyone what PowerApps can do. And that's exactly what I did. I was showing the managers, I was showing different departments that this is PowerApps and this is how this app could change the way we do things. And they were getting excited. And then I was asked to do a small project, which was how to remove a paper process. Because what was the paper process before was a manager would print out a piece of paper, do an audit around Hifo. It could be about anything, about passenger service. It could be about the equipment that we have. And once they'd done that audit, they would hand it over to the admin person. And that admin person would input that data on the information on the piece of paper onto an Excel spreadsheet. And this would take around 2 days because they would fill this information after 2 days. End of the month. And said, Sam, would you be able to convert this into a Power App? And I was so happy. I said, absolutely. When I did that, within 2 weeks, I didn't just create this app by myself. I got other people involved, the people that were going to use it, the managers, and so on. And I asked them how we could help you create this app for you. And it was great to have their input as well. And within 2 to 3 weeks, we were able to have a working product. And so after that, I was asked would you be interested in applying for a job called the adoption specialist, and I said absolutely. And so I became a digital champion to a adoption specialist, and then my job was to show what PowerApps can do, but train others as well in different departments, people who have got no skills in or no IT background, to show them that they can build them this as well. And that was great, because then I started building a community of PowerApps builders and developers that didn't have no IT background but wanted to not just work for a department, but make a difference in their own department as well. And so I moved from digital champion to adoption specialist. And now I am moved from adoption specialist to solution specialist, where I'm not just training people, showing the art of possible, but now building the governance behind it to show people that these are how many apps have been built, this is how much savings we're doing, and signing off apps as well. So once someone else has created an app, I'll check the branding, making sure that it works and so on. And that's it. So now I am the solution specialist for Heathrow.
Sit tight, podcast listeners. We're taking a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. MongoDB is a free open source document database. It has all the querying and indexing tools you need and the scalability and flexibility to get work done with ease. MongoDB stores data in flexible JSON-like documents, meaning fields can vary from document to document and data structures can be changed over time. Developing with MongoDB is quick and easy and gives your team the freedom to easily organize, use, and enrich their data in real time. If that wasn't enough, they also offer MongoDB Atlas, an automated cloud service that allows you to deploy a fully managed cloud database in minutes. Find out today how you can use MongoDB for your business with their free online courses. Just head on over to university.mongodb.com to get started. Ready to accelerate your coding journey and break into software engineering? Flatiron School's online software engineering immersive teaches the most comprehensive software engineering curriculum you'll find. You'll learn from top instructors using real-world tools, have a chance to work one-on-one with a dedicated career coach, and be part of a community that will empower you to change not just your career, but also your future. Since 2012, Flatiron School has helped more than 2,000 students launch new careers in tech. With a track record of impressive outcomes and radical transparency, you can change careers with total confidence. So whether you prefer to learn self-paced, part-time, or full-time, Flatiron School will give you the skills you need to become a great software engineer. Get started today with Flatiron School's free coding bootcamp prep at flatironschool.com/learn-to-code-with-me. Wow, that is awesome. That's like such a cool internal career move, right? Because it's like you're within the same company, but you're moving to this different role. So I'm curious, So you're no longer a security guard. Are you on the IT? Are you like in the IT department now?
I absolutely am. Yes. I was a security officer for 13 years. In the last year or so now, I've been moved to IT, which I thought would never happen. But it's amazing because I get to learn so much, something new every single day. And not just learning, but sharing that as well. Everyone can feel how I feel, because when I build an app, it makes me feel smart, and I want other people to feel the same way as well, that if I can do it, then anybody can do it. And so I want people to feel the way I feel.
So yeah, all that sounds really awesome and amazing. And I was reading again your LinkedIn, and it looks like you're using other technologies beyond just Power Apps, or maybe they're within Power Apps. I'm not actually 100% sure, but I was seeing Power BI, Microsoft Flow, and I think a few other things. Could you talk just like briefly about what some of those other technologies are and how you use them?
Absolutely. So Power Apps is great to send data to a data source, but we're also using Power BI, which is called Power Business Intelligence, where you're extracting the data and you're visualizing your data. And that's where Power BI comes in. And it's such a great tool because, again, you're using no coding to visualize your data. It's just drop and drag. And I thought that was great. And then Flow is where you can automate some scenarios. For example, if you get an email with an attachment, it can send you that attachment to a certain folder that you that you've asked it to go to. So you'd have to go to your email, save the picture and put it into a folder. With Microsoft Flow, you can just automate that automatically. It's a logic app. So those three platforms, the Power BI, Power Apps and Flow, work hand in hand.
And what does your day-to-day look like now working as a solution specialist?
So I go to different departments and I encourage people, not encourage people, but show them the art of possible, help them. I'm not building apps for them. I'm teaching them that they can also build apps as well and look at different ways we can do it. Sometimes it might be a Power App thing, it might be a Power BI thing, or it might be a Flow, but I'm here to guide them and help them and build a community at Heathrow. And so that's my day-to-day at the moment.
Nice. Are you the only person at Heathrow who has this job function, or are there other people like you doing similar?
Currently now, we have a few people now that are doing it within their own department, and I just overlook it. Because our aim at Heathrow wasn't just one person building apps, it's just to develop other people to do the same. And it's great because they get to add a new skill and they get to learn a new skill as well. And that's why we initiated the 100 Days of Power Apps, where someone who doesn't have no background in Power Apps, Power BI Flow, and I'll show them where they can find the content, the blogs, the YouTube videos, and they can start their journey from no knowledge to becoming expert within 100 days. And it's been quite well, actually, because I want to change the culture where still someone depending or asking for help within Heathrow, they can reach out and ask for help anywhere, basically, like I did. And that's how I started with Power Apps. When I needed help, I reached out on Twitter with a gentleman called Brian Dang, who used to be a teacher, and now he works for Microsoft, and he's part of the Power Apps team. And it was great to reach out to him and say, I'm kind of stuck in a certain thing. Could you help me? And he would help me. And so I want others to feel the same way and do the same way, that just to reach out and ask for help.
Nice. And speaking of Twitter and speaking of Microsoft, I saw that your photo on Twitter is with the Microsoft CEO. How did that happen exactly?
Yeah, that was an amazing thing that happened to me, where I was at home, 3 o'clock in the morning, working on an app, and I got an email from one of the Power Apps teams and said, look, would you be interested to coming to one of the Microsoft events to see the CEO of Microsoft? I said, absolutely. First of all, wow, this is, you know, no one's going to believe me. I said, yeah, absolutely. And I sent the email straight away and I was so excited. I couldn't go to sleep. I wanted to tell my dad straight away that, Dad, I've been asked to go to Las Vegas to see the CEO of Microsoft. He didn't believe me. He thought, no, you're going out to party. I said, no, I'm going to be talking to the CEO of Microsoft. And when I got there, just to Las Vegas, and in talking, I was amazed that I wasn't going to just see him. I was going to actually be on stage with him in front of 18,000 people. And it was like, I couldn't believe that this is going to happen to someone like me with no background in IT or technology. And the reason I got to speak to Mr. Satya Nadella is because what I've done in Heathrow with Power Apps and how much we saved time, money, and how we became more efficient using the tools. And he wanted to hear my journey and share that journey with everyone else. And so it was great. Before I went on stage, they said that it's going to be live and that I could share it with my family. So I sent the link to my wife. I said, could you just share it with mum and dad and don't share it with anybody else? So I shared the, she said, no problem. my mum shared it to her family all over India, and I got a bit more nervous because I'm not used to speaking in front of lots of people. So when I found out I was speaking in front of 18,000 people, I got even more nervous.
Yeah, so I'm cutting in, but that's insane. Like, my face over here, my jaw's like dropping because I can't even imagine talking. And like, I honestly can't imagine talking in front of 1,800 people, let alone 18,000 people, and to have it be like live streamed all over the world live. That sounds, yeah, that's a lot.
A lot. I was shaking. I was like, okay. My main focus was to listen to the questions clearly and make sure you don't ask Sachin Nadella to repeat himself. It'd be kind of embarrassing. So my focus was not to look at anyone else and just listen to questions and answer that question that he asked me. And when the questions were over and when I finished answering, I sat down and I didn't hear anyone clapping, or I didn't hear, felt like it was silence because I was in that bubble, I was in that zone. I couldn't think of anything else. But when I went home and I looked back at the video, I thought, oh yes, people were clapping and great. But to me, the best feeling was when I got a phone call from my dad and he said, I'm very proud of you. And that for me meant a lot. Because I didn't think that I'll be able to make my dad proud. And so when he said that, that got to me. And that for me was the biggest highlight was obviously speaking to Sachin Nadella, because he's such a gentleman, he's such a down-to-earth person. And he made me feel so comfortable, speaking in front of 18,000 people. But also the biggest highlight was to hear my dad say, I'm very proud of you, when he saw me on stage. So that was really, really great.
Yeah. Sorry if you already mentioned this and I just didn't catch it. What was the name of this conference?
It's called the Microsoft Inspire.
Got it. Okay. We'll make sure to include that in the show notes. And wow. Yes. 18,000 people is, that's like a state. Is that like a stadium? Was it in a stadium?
The way my CEO described it was, it's like a concert, like a Coldplay concert. And so, yeah, I'll be honest with you. That was the last thing I wanted to think about, how many people were there. Because I'm not a natural public speaker. I've never spoken in front of that many people before, or even less. So, yeah, even when I was speaking, I got nervous. But like I said, Mr. Sachin Nadella was such a nice person that I felt comfortable.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear that he was so comforting and great.
It was great to meet him the day before. And like I say, such a humble person, such a down-to-earth person. Like, you know, it's great to actually meet him. And that's what made me feel more comfortable as well.
Yeah, I feel like I've, met some, I say, quote unquote, really successful, or I don't know if you want to say famous, but, people who do like really amazing things. And I feel like a lot of them, like at the really top ranks, are really, just have these like auras about them. Right. And it makes so much sense, because it's like, of course, someone so great and so kind and generous and gentle would make it so far, because they just have like these amazing, attributes about them. But I don't want to go down a different rabbit hole here. I really want to ask you, because your story is really interesting. I don't think I ever spoke to anyone on the podcast who has been at a single organization for as long as you have. And I think it's really cool how you, went from being a security guard to working in IT. So I want to ask if you have any advice that you could give to listeners who want to make an internal career move like they did at a company they currently work for.
To be honest, I would say that because I've been a security officer for such a long time, I was the subject matter expert. So I knew that this would work well, or this how we can improve, or this is, we would know working internally that there's opportunities to making things better, or how we can be more efficient. So, use that as a as an advantage, you know, working for a company for internally, which I would advise and say, look, you know, you have great ideas, use it. You know, I normally laugh and say that those people that moan about something, those are the ones that have great ideas, because why isn't this done, or how can we improve this? You're there. Don't just think about what the problem is. This is an opportunity to come with a solution as well. And that's what I've did is, you know, there's an opportunity to improve something. And by working at Heath for such a long time, there's ways that I kind of found a solution. So that's one of the advices I would say as well, of working internally.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And finally, I want to ask, for people listening that are curious about these technologies, so like Power Apps, Microsoft BI, etc., do you have any tips or recommendations on where they can learn more to get started?
Absolutely. I used Google to type in Power Apps, and you get so much information, Power BI and Flow. You can go on YouTube. I mean, I do most of my learning on YouTube. There's Twitter as well. There's so many people on Twitter where you type up Power Apps and you can ask a question, hashtag Power Apps or hashtag Power BI or Flow. And people give you blogs or give you assistance, give you help. It's such an amazing community. Like I said, someone like me who has got no background in IT, I just reached out and looked at those three places. If you've got LinkedIn, you can look at LinkedIn as people are blogging about how to do certain things. We're so lucky that resources are around us and everywhere. Go check those places out.
Awesome. And yeah, I couldn't agree more. We have so many awesome resources at our fingertips, no matter what we want to learn. Thank you so much again for coming on. And where can people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter at SamitSaini01. You can find me on LinkedIn. But yeah, feel free to reach out. And if you need help or assistance, I'm always available to, you know, share that knowledge as well.
Awesome. Thank you again for coming on.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you want a recap of this episode, you can find the show notes at learntocodewith.me/podcast. From there, you can browse through recent episodes or find old favorites using the search icon in the upper right corner. If you enjoyed this episode, you can subscribe to my show on whichever podcast player you use. For more free tech-related resources, tips, and recommendations, visit my website and blog at learntocodewith.me. Tune in again next week for a new episode of the Learn to Code with Me podcast. See you then!